production funding for Behind the Headlines is made possible in part by the WKNO Production Fund, the WKNO Endowment Fund, and by viewers like you. Thank you.
What's next for Graceland and Elvis Presley Enterprises tonight on Behind the Headlines? Barnes with the Daily Memphian. Thanks for joining us. I am joined tonight by Joel Weinshaker, the managing partner of Elvis Presley Enterprises. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Along with Bill Drees, reporter with the Daily Memphian. So thank you for doing this. It's great. You've been involved with, I think it's late 2013, we were talking a little bit before the show, that you and your group have been involved with.
A little over five years.
So all kinds of things to walk through, but I want to start really kind of big picture and generally. And I mean, a kind of goofy question, but I'm going to ask it. What is Graceland now? What is Elvis Presley Enterprises, and how is it different in Memphis than outside? Because there's the, you know, Memphians, I think, tend to think of Graceland and as the house. But it's become much more, which we'll talk about. But outside of Memphis, what is it? Because you're from New York and got involved in this and got involved in all kinds of different things. So talk about that difference of the perceptions and realities of, you know, Graceland in its biggest sense.
It's the second most visited private home in America, the White House being the first. And I think the difference is that I think more people from Chicago come to Graceland than people from Memphis. And we're actually trying to change that because, you know, it is the center of pop culture in the world. You know, we get tens of thousands of visitors from Australia, tens of thousands of visitors from the United Kingdom. And these people stay in Memphis 7, 10, 12, 14 days. So what we're doing is really trying to make this become a longer destination because, you know, before we got involved, it was a stopover on going to somewhere else, going to Disney, going to New Orleans, going to the beach in, you know, Panama City. And what we've really done, even in the last 3 years, is we've added 300,000 nights additional for people who are coming into Memphis specifically for Graceland, but then staying over. So instead of the hop over to Nashville, the hop over somewhere else, we're making Graceland, we're making Memphis that destination. So it really has become, you know, everything that was great in America after World War II. If you think about, you know, pop culture really started in America right after World War II by a small number of people who were, you know, they weren't old enough to have served in the military, but they were born before the start of World War II. And they really created something that is beloved worldwide. When people say they love America, they're really talking about pop culture.
Yeah. The Graceland itself now, in the broadest sense, is obviously the house, and people, you know the plane. It's also the guest house at Graceland, the big convention center type hotel.
Absolutely.
And what else? I mean, because you've been building and you've been adding. And then let's also talk about the movies and so on. And then, so again, what is Graceland in its broadest sense?
So, I mean, so listen, it all does start with the mansion. You know, my first experience when I was in my young 20s, I was an artist manager. I was managing a band that played the Mid-South Coliseum, and someone said, would you like a VIP tour of Graceland? And I was a cocky manager, and we were a cocky bunch of kids, and we said, sure. And the only we had to do it very early in the morning because we had to be in Nashville by noon or something like that. And I was the first one through the door. They let us bring the tour bus up. We parked behind. I'm walking through the back door, and Aunt Delta, who was still living there, started yelling at me for being there early. And after the great moment, can't replace that, through the tour, I became so humbled because you realize nobody lived a bigger life than Elvis. No one created more. No one changed more. I looked at all of these things that I never connected with Elvis, and it was just amazing. So it's really, I walked out of the door saying, my mind has been blown. I know what I want to do, you know, for the rest of my life. And one of those things I want to do is be involved with Elvis. So it revolves around our mansion, but, you know, we built the largest hotel that's been built in Memphis in over 90 years. Four Diamond Award, glowing reviews, just a great place to stay and affordable. You know, everything that we do has to be affordable for the masses. Then we built Elvis Presley's Memphis, a 250,000 square foot, I like to call it like a World's Fair concept, where you get to see and do all of these things. You get, obviously, his cars, his gold records, all of these things, but then you also see movie sets and television sets. We also have the best venue in Memphis. We have the, you know, the soundstage, which we started having concerts in just about 6 months ago. And the reviews have been phenomenal. But
the Violent Femmes?
Femmes, absolutely, were here just recently. And every artist, when you look at their Twitter, when you look at their Instagram, they say, this is the best building we've played in years.
Okay, and then very briefly, the movies and your Elvis Presley Enterprises involvement with yes. Christmas at Graceland mm-hmm. and so on.
Yes.
Go through that and then we'll switch
to Bill. So, you know, we had talked to, you know, Crown Media that owns the Hallmark Channel. You know, Hallmark is a really interesting entity. A lot of people, if you're a fan, you watch it 30, 40 hours a week, it appears. And you see these movies time and time again. They have something like 65 new Christmas movies every year. But if you're not, you say, well, I get the greeting cards. I guess they have a channel. It's wonderful. But when I started investigating, you looked at it, what they did was really beautiful. So we pitched them on this concept of doing these movies. I'm very involved from the start. I'm an executive producer on all the films. I work with the scripts, work with talent. And what we did is not only did we want something for Graceland, but we wanted something for all of Memphis. And it started with one movie that we filmed last year that came out Christmas time last year around Thanksgiving. It was the number one show of cable television of the entire week. It beat every football game. It beat every basketball game. It was one of the biggest Hallmark movies of all time. So now we have a longer deal that's actually getting extended again. We filmed a wedding movie that's going to air next week, actually, in, you know, first week in June. We've got another Christmas movie coming, and we have more after. But part of what we did was we made, you know, the soft requirement that half of the movie had to be filmed outside of Graceland. Because everything that we do at Graceland can't just be for us. We don't succeed unless our community succeeds. And our community is Whitehaven, our community is Memphis, our community is Shelby County. Okay. So everything that we do, we have to bring jobs, we have to bring opportunities. And if you look at the movies, they're 2-hour commercials for Memphis.
Yeah. Bill.
Joel, this weekend, across the street from the mansion at Elvis Presley's Memphis, mm-hmm. you're going to open up the Exhibition Center. You yeah. talked about this for a long time.
Absolutely.
Tell me what this means and, mm-hmm. and what you'll be able to do there.
You know, when I looked at the history of Memphis, you know, Memphis about 20 years ago had these amazing exhibitions, and it really drove millions of people to Memphis. It was really great for the city. And we have a lot of experience in exhibitions. And honestly, we also needed more space. We get so many calls and so many communiques for conventions and for meetings. And these conventions and meetings, it's not like someone saying, we're going to Memphis, where are we gonna go to Memphis? We're competing with Atlanta, we're competing with Orlando, and we're beating them a lot. So we have a desire for more space, but we wanted to bring world-class exhibitions to Memphis, a lot of which, though, have an educational element. So what we're doing is we're actually working with the schools, and we're going to be bringing in the school kids for free. Not only are we going to be giving them free admission, that's an easy thing to do, we're also going to be facilitating their transportation. Because often when people say, we'll do this for school kids, they say, just get them here. And in everyone's minds, I think they think bus drivers and buses are waiting behind the school all day to take the kids places, and that's just not, you know, the reality. And especially with the tight school budgets these days, there's no money in it for them. So we're providing that soup to nuts. We're bringing these kids in. Muhammad Ali, what a wonderful exhibition, belongs in Memphis. You know, not only was Muhammad, you know, probably the most prominent athlete of the 20th century, he was a civil rights giant. He cared so much about, you know, about civil rights and about people that we're bringing that in. You know, we're bringing in the fall, we're bringing in a NASA exhibition to teach kids about space. We want to give people hope. We want to give people, you know, the opportunity to see what's possible. Because with Elvis was born, as were all the other pop culture revolutionaries, dirt poor. He was, you know, they didn't have enough food to eat as a child. So these people aspired to something, and if Elvis could have done it, if Muhammad could have done it, so can you.
So the Strickland administration and Graceland mm-hmm. have agreed to a development agreement, for lack of a better term, that kind of sets the terms for the other things that you want to do on the Graceland campus, as well as manufacturing in Whitehaven, but not necessarily on the Graceland campus. But the city council has delayed the vote on that. Mm-hmm. Is, for lack of a better term to be imprecise, is the deal still moving on that? Are you and the city still talking, or are the terms what they were mm-hmm. when you and the administration agreed to it?
That's a really good question. So, you know, In the civics and government classes I took in high school and at university, we talked about three distinct different branches of government, which in Memphis really doesn't seem to exist so much. It was shared with me some internal correspondence between two branches of government, between leaders in two branches of government a couple of weeks ago, where I was called petulant. I was called a child. And it was because I was basically saying, we need to bring these jobs in. If we don't bring these jobs in, we're bringing them into Whitehaven, they're going to go somewhere else. And if they go somewhere else, you're giving less hope to people who need it. The Strickland administration has been very focused on downtown. And it's not for me to say good or bad. Let's just say it is what it is. But it's really forgotten about a lot of the other parts of Memphis. And this isn't just my opinion. Community leaders are coming to me, not just from Whitehaven, but from all over Memphis, saying, we need your help. We need to be able to do something because we matter. And the only time we seem to matter is when they need our vote. And if they don't need our vote, or even they take our vote for granted, we don't matter. So there's an agreement in place. The city has responsibilities. But if I were to offer that correspondence between city government and the city council, you'd look at it and say, are they breaking their contract?
We'd love to have that if you want to share it with us at any point. But let me back up a little bit about it, so that people maybe aren't as close to this as we are.
Sure.
What's on the table? What's on the table, if I understand correctly, is 80,000 square feet in additional sound stages?
For television and film production.
Right. The RV park being relocated and expanded, 30 guest cabins, retail and exhibit spaces expanded, hangars for the display of the jets, and the manufacturing and distribution facility.
And the addition to the hotel.
Okay, and the addition to the hotel. Thank you. And so for that, you're asking for some amount of incentives from or blessed by the city. Is that correct?
Absolutely. But here's the reality. So beyond all of the headlines, beyond all of the nonsense, everything that we do comes back to us. So we have to put the money up. Like with the hotel, I couldn't get a bank in America to finance the hotel. They looked at Graceland and said, Whitehaven? They even said Memphis? They would have given me the money to build an Elvis-themed hotel in Nashville, maybe downtown, but never in Whitehaven. So I actually had to put up all the guarantees around the hotel were my personal guarantees, down to my home. So obviously it's turned out reasonably well, but everything that we build, the city and county actually make more money to it. So they're really not guaranteeing. We get a little bit of the uplift in the taxes, but the city and county get the majority of it. What does that equal? So when we built the hotel, there were no guarantees. So in a public TDZ, let's take the aquarium. If the debt service needed to pay, from the taxes doesn't come, the city's on the line for it. The FedEx Forum, the city's on the line for it. With our TDZ, because it's private, the only one who's on the line is us.
So this is a mix of, without going too deep, and Bill has written about it, and people can go to the Daily Memphian and other places to get some of the, the minutiae of this. But we're talking about changes to the TIF that funds the incremental revenue from city and county property taxes within the zone around Graceland. Talking about changes to the TDZ tax revenue, and talking about pilots, right? The three main ones that Memphis and Shelby County and Tennessee use for this kind of thing.
And there's really no change in the TDZ. This is really about allowing us to build and about a small change in the TIF. But the reality is every time we build, more money goes in the coffers. So in 2018, just from the hotel, Memphis and Shelby County will get $2.5 million more in tax revenue than they did before we built the hotel.
Is that all property tax revenue, or is that property and sales?
And sales tax.
And sales tax. Mm-hmm. How much money for this next phase of things we talked about, give or take, how much money are you, as Elvis Presley Enterprises, you personally, whatever, however you want to frame that, putting up?
An additional $100 million.
Okay.
All of our money, there is no check being written. This is all a fallacy. There is no, and every time we do it, and it's very easy to put on a piece of paper, Memphis and Shelby County make more money direct. That doesn't amount for the indirect for everyone else coming and staying at the Peabody, staying at the Holiday Inn, staying at the Sheraton. That doesn't count. That direct revenue, the city and county make money every time we do it because they share in the wealth.
I'm going to go to Bill and say it with 10 minutes here. Then what is the resistance?
Jason Wexler.
Okay, so now we're going to go to the arena. So this gets into the arena, the non-compete of the FedEx Forum.
Correct.
But I thought the arena, the mid-sized arena that falls into this non-compete that the city has with the FedEx Forum, what is it, 6,500, that's not on the table right now.
No.
Are you trying to get it back on the table as part of this negotiation?
Not at all, but Bruce McMullen,
who's the chief legal officer of the city.
Which is very odd. This is the largest city in America that doesn't have a full-time chief legal officer. And when you have somebody who's a partner in a private firm, and when you have somebody who doesn't work for the city all the time, you really have to question what are the issues, what are the problems. And I know that there's several city council members who actually want to put forth a bill to require the chief legal officer to be full-time and not have a private practice as well.
We'll give Bruce at some point a chance to respond to that.
Absolutely.
He's a partner at Baker Donaldson, one of the big Tennessee
Correct.
Firms. But back to the arena,
yes.
So you think the city is putting the arena, or Jason Wexler from the so FedEx Forum, he's president
Jason,
of the,
Jason
of the
Wexler
Grizzlies. And
from the beginning has run the whole show. So Bruce has basically stated to numerous people that no matter what we do at Graceland, Jason Wexler has to sign off on it. So the fallacy now is that we could somehow turn these sound stages that are only 20,000 square feet each, and as has been reported, you can only fit by fire code about 1,700 people in a 20,000 square foot building. So the new fallacy is that we're going to somehow combine these sound stages and make them into the evil arena, which, you know, we've lived up to every commitment that we've done, everything that we've said we've done, we've done. When we come to the city for a benefit, we're not saying, it's not like other where we say, well, we'll get the benefit from the city and let's raise the money. Every one of these projects is shovel ready. The jobs are ready. I had to move some of the jobs somewhere else because we couldn't be waiting any longer.
Bill, we're getting back in.
How do you think this is resolved? Is this near being resolved?
So this is really about the community. You know, one of the things, I love Memphis, and let me just say that, I really do love Memphis. Elvis loved Memphis, and I totally get what he loved about it. And I've decided from a communal standpoint to put a lot of my philanthropy into Memphis. You know, part of what we offered and wasn't asked for was putting every ticket that we're selling under our Live Nation deal, putting money and keeping it in Whitehaven. Now, when we had initially come to an agreement with the city, so if we want to back up a second, we came to an agreement in writing with the city to allow us to build this arena. The city told us, and they said, we've read the agreement with the basketball team. There's no conflict. It's a private TDZ. The funds don't come from there. Everything's fine and dandy. We have it in writing from the chief operating officer that we came to an agreement. We also were giving money per ticket, but that money they wouldn't let us keep in Whitehaven. So we preempted it and said, we're going to do this for our Live Nation deal. We're going to keep the money in Whitehaven, charitable. I can also tell you, listen, I always feel that you have to give something back. And my mom passed away about a month ago. And she was the most charitable person I've ever met in my entire life. When at her funeral, there were pastors from three different denominations who came just to attest to the tens of thousands of people that she directly helped in her lifetime. And one of the things I've committed to is trying to be as philanthropic as she, as trying to do as much good as she would. So in everything that we're doing, we're trying to give back to the community, but I can't tell you can I tell you what's going on? Yes, Jason Wexler is running this. Jason Wexler, when I went to Jason and said, if this goes to court, you know how the court's going to interpret it. He said, it's never going to get to court. I'm going to stop it in the city council. That's what Jason said to me in front of a number of people.
And we'll reach out to Jason, give him a chance to respond.
Absolutely.
Let me stay with Bill.
So in light of that, what are your hopes for a council decision on this? Because if the council votes on it and mm-hmm. approves it,
yes.
it's a done deal.
Yes. But based upon the correspondence, the city, who has a legal obligation to try to help push this through, is actually pushing it back. So they keep on changing our agreement because the agreement has to get more specific. The agreement that we had was an outline of an agreement. Now the agreement gets more specific. They ask us for a change. We make a small change, and then the city council, the part that's being controlled by the mayor, basically has said, now it's changed, we have to push it back. And they keep on trying to push it back. The intent probably is to push it back past the election. Because if the majority of Memphians really find out what's going on, and the community leaders at this point do, I've had numerous meetings with community leaders who are all just as fed up as I am, looking at this and saying, what's stopping this? And every time, they don't really have it, the city doesn't have a direct excuse. So the chief operating officer said, as it relates to the jobs, they haven't applied for a pilot yet. Well, our agreement was, and this was told to us, the city basically structured this, said, let's do it in two parts. Let's get the Graceland part done first, and then we'll do the pilot. So we haven't gotten the Graceland part. We can't do the Graceland part because the city told us not to, the pilot part for the jobs. And then the city's answer is, well, they haven't pulled the pilot yet because we were told not to.
So you're talking about the jobs because the mayor has said, if Graceland wants to do the manufacturing, mm-hmm. Graceland can do the manufacturing mm-hmm. tomorrow.
We can't because the city told us that they wanted to do it in two steps. It wasn't our idea, it was their idea. We have this in writing in case anyone has forgotten.
I've just heard in the last week that you've been talking with Shelby County Schools about the old Graves Elementary School.
That's correct.
That is near there.
Correct.
What are your ideas on that?
So, you know, not the newest idea in the world, VOTEC, but very specific VOTEC. So what we're trying to do is take a closed school and work out with the Shelby County Schools where juniors and seniors can come. Now, all of this is going to be basically paid for by us. We're not looking for any money. We're not looking for any partnerships. We may get some federal dollars, but we're not Memphis and Shelby County, not a dime. We would select them based upon their skills because we wouldn't be looking for the same skill set as, you know, if you look at our governor started his own VOTEC because he needed more people for his business. We would do the same thing. So we would offer several hundred positions for VOTEC within Shelby County, starting with Whitehaven, because you know what? Whitehaven is our community, and if we're successful, you know, we would think that there are several other prominent Memphians that would maybe help out in their communities as well. But start in Whitehaven, but go through all throughout Memphis, then Shelby County, several hundred VOTECs. We would teach them, juniors and seniors, the skills that we need. So it's not ambiguous, it's not, well, maybe someone will hire you. We would then, while they're in school, when school day ends, we would offer them several hours a day of paid work. Because you can give someone VOTEC, but you know what, if they have to go and try to get a job afterwards, it's skimming into school. People, you know, the kids need money. Then, once they graduate, as long as they do everything that they're supposed to do and they graduate, they will have a full-time job with benefits waiting for them within Whitehaven.
Let me add, with just a couple minutes left, there was a story in the Wall Street Journal a month ago, something mm-hmm. like that. It got some attention and got some criticism and so on, locally and nationally, that you all had threatened to move Graceland mm-hmm. if the city didn't, you know, I mean, they kind of framed it as write a check, basically, mm-hmm. to buy mm-hmm. Graceland staying. Mm-hmm. Is moving Graceland on the table?
No, we can't. Listen, the mansion's always going to be there. But in the 21st century, if you don't get bigger, you go away. So when I had gotten there, there had been over a 20-year period, less and less and less people had gone to Graceland. You'd get a little bit of a bump when there was an anniversary, but basically it had been a decline. And the two companies that had been there before I weren't putting any money into Graceland. They weren't building anything. They weren't even keeping up with, you know, they were just trying, they were, you know, listen, they were publicly traded companies. They were trying to pull money out, not put money in. So what I've been able to do is I've been able to stop that decline. We're now on the increase. So to grow Graceland, we can only grow it with a private partnership. But what has been brought to us, and still last week again, is, hey, why don't we have a Graceland outpost in this place or this place?
So take that brand to other cities and take the investment correct. To other cities, not up. So, I mean, there was a sense of like dismantling the mansion, putting out a moving truck and taking it away.
Never been said.
Okay. Just a couple minutes.
But offered. You know, we'd had an offer from Japan and we had an offer in the Middle East where they actually wanted to do that. It wasn't, we didn't take it seriously,
I got you.
But it was offered.
You were involved in lots of other things. Mm-hmm. Somewhat involved with Prince's licensing and mm-hmm. so on. Muhammad Ali, you mentioned, I guess mm-hmm. you own the rights and licensing.
Well, we're partners with Muhammad Ali Enterprise. Actually, you know, I still say the Muhammad Ali Enterprises, but since he's passed, it's the estate of Muhammad Ali.
Gotcha.
I'm actually a partner with Lonnie, who is his wife. And you know, so we oversee the whole estate. And then with Prince, it was really about, you know, Prince was a revolutionary in his own right. And when he passed away, I felt an obligation because I was a fan and I had met him to try to help. There's no better museum. There's no better organization than Graceland. So we were actually able to come in and secure all the things at Paisley Park, so that Prince's legacy has a future.
And other things. Chia Pets, is that right?
Sure,
I mean, go through some of the other things that you own. I mean, over the years, from music promoter to owner of all these licensed.
I love pop culture. I love revolutionaries. So when I had a chance, you know, I own a number of companies with consumer products, which is really where a lot of these manufacturing jobs are going to come from. I've brought other people into the fold, but a lot of them are coming from me. So with the Chia Pet and the Clapper, those are two amazing American iconic brands. So I purchased the company, you know, from Joe Pidot, who was a legendary ad man, had built the company for 50 years. And when I looked at it, one of the first things I wanted to do is, let's bring all the manufacturing to Memphis.
What band back Mid-South Coliseum that you mentioned coming through?
It was a band called Trickster, in the end of the hair metal days.
Okay. Yes. And is there room? We could do a whole show on this.
Absolutely.
But from your point of view, you say you're not pushing for this arena of the Mid-South Coliseum size and all that. But is there room for and a market for an arena of that size of 6,000 to 7,000 seats?
100%. So what you have to remember is, if you look at the shows we're bringing, Violent Femmes and all of the other shows, you know, we've got Pat Benatar coming, we've got Melissa Etheridge coming. We're going to be doing something really substantial with the E Street Band that's coming up. We're bringing people. A majority of the people are not from Memphis. They're from out of town. So we're bringing them in because as part of the Graceland experience. So we're not competing against, the only thing we're competing against is the Lander Center. And the real great question for Jason Wexler, if you can actually get him, is, Jason, what is the business relationship between the Lander Center and the Hoops basketball team? Because all of those dollars are going to Mississippi.
Like I said, we can do a whole show on that, but I thank you very much for the quick answer. Thank you, Bill, and thank you for joining us. Join us again next week.